Usually, when we talk about professional skills, there's this real sense of pride. But if you bring up one specific word to a room full of, say, brilliant engineers or lawyers or consultants, you can actually see them physically cringe.
Oh, yeah. It's a completely visceral, full-body rejection of the word acquisition. Or worse, sales.
Right. The dreaded S word. Well, welcome to today's deep dive into the book Sales for Techies and Consultants by Jan Willem van den Brink and Martin van Os. Our mission for you today is to uncover how subject matter experts can win clients without resorting to, cold calls or feeling like a sleazy salesperson.
Yeah, but before we get to the actual tactics, we really have to figure out why highly capable professionals run for the hills the second business development is even brought up.
Okay, let's unpack this. Why is that? I mean, these are incredibly smart people.
It comes down to what the authors call the dare obstacle. I mean, techies and consultants are highly analytical, right? They deal in objective truths.
Yeah, facts and data.
Exactly. But sales. Sales feels subjective and messy and honestly kind of manipulative to them. So to fix this, the authors present the win-win quadrant, which appeals directly to that logical mindset. You just treat client interactions like an optimization problem.
Wait, an optimization problem? How does that actually work?
Well, the only acceptable place to operate is the top left box. So that means it has to be good for the client and good for you. If an interaction doesn't map to that exact quadrant, you simply discard the variable and say no.
No is an okay answer. Wow, that completely reframes the whole concept.
Yeah.
Because if we view it through that lens, the fear of selling is actually a bizarre form of selfishness.
How do you mean?
Well, let's say you're a doctor, right? And you have the exact cure a patient needs, but you don't offer it because you're afraid of looking pushy. By keeping your mouth shut, aren't you actually doing them a massive disservice?
What's fascinating here is that you're hitting on a deeply ingrained cultural belief. I mean, we just assume offering a service equates to bragging or, like, forcing an issue.
Right, like it's arrogant.
Yeah, but once you realize that you're literally just offering a cure to someone who actively needs it, that psychological barrier, the dare obstacle, it really starts to dissolve.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
But spotting the person who actually needs that cure requires a completely different skill set. You have to recognize these buying signals.
Yes. And these aren't usually flashing red lights. They are way more subtle. It's usually just complaints, like a manager grumbling about a slow IT system or maybe a colleague mentioning that a key specialist is going on parental leave.
Right. Just everyday workplace venting.
Exactly. And when you hear those signals, you use what the authors call the IMI response framework. That stands for introduce, motivate, instruct.
Okay, break that down for me.
So first, you introduce your observation. You'd say something like, I noticed you're frustrated with the system downtime. Then you motivate why it matters by adding, well, that usually means a lot of lost productivity. And then you instruct.
Hang on, I have to play devil's advocate here. Because if I'm complaining about my IT system and someone uses a framework on me to instruct me, my defenses are going right up. I mean, isn't that just a Trojan horse for a sneaky sales pitch?
I completely get why you'd think that. But the IN instruct doesn't mean giving them orders or pushing a contract.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, in this context, it just means giving them a clear instruction on how to proceed if they choose to. You use what the authors call a pull question. Instead of forcing a solution down their throat, you just ask something like, so what would be a good next step to fix this?
Oh, wow. Okay, so by asking a pull question, you completely remove the pressure. You're basically handing them the steering wheel and letting them decide if they even want your help.
Exactly. You are entirely empowering the client to lead the dance.
But spotting a buying signal is only helpful if you, like, actually happen to be standing right there. Unless you're literally eavesdropping on every water cooler conversation, you're going to miss 90% of them.
Mm.
So how do we scale this? How do you get your network to bring the opportunities to you?
By completely ditching the traditional jargon-filled elevator pitch, you replace it with the safety match story.
A safety match story.
Yeah, because standard elevator pitches fail. They focus on your job title, which is something your network doesn't actually know how to sell. But the safety match story is a three-scene narrative that you can tell in the exact time it takes a physical match to burn down to your fingers.
Okay, so the brevity forces you to focus purely on the client's pain point.
Yeah.
Rather than getting lost in your own technical jargon.
Right. It's three steps. First, you state the disaster. Second, your intervention. And third, the happy ending. Because it focuses heavily on the disaster, it basically turns your network into a fleet of radar detectors.
Oh, I see. They don't need to understand your underlying tech. They just need to recognize the smoke.
Yes, exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's almost like giving your network a wanted poster for the specific disasters you know how to fix. Like if you just say, oh, I optimize databases.
Right. Their eyes just glaze over.
Exactly. Nobody knows what to do with that. But if you say, you know, when a company's website crashes on Black Friday, I rebuild the architecture so it never happens again. Suddenly, everyone knows exactly who to look for.
You're just making it incredibly easy for your network to recognize when you are the right person in the right place. Because business development isn't about manipulation. It's literally just helping people buy the solutions they already desperately need.
Which brings us to a final challenge for you to consider. If you had to strike a match right now and tell your own safety match story before the flame reaches your fingers, who is the specific hero you're saving, and what is the exact disaster you're preventing?